Manx Radio's update.
Pastor Mai, September the 7th, 5:30 update. 30 minutes in which we can reflect on the news of this day as well as looking ahead to the upcoming weather, back at sport and also travel news from land and sea. As well as the latest COVID figures we've been provided with, we'll hear how a third jab is being offered to those whose immune system is below par. Election posters defaced and removed. Are the police investigating? If not, why? As Shetland looks at this island as it contemplates greater autonomy from the UK. Tonight's election debate is at the University College up there by the grandstand with Douglas North candidates. Remember, a podcast is available for update this evening if you want to hear it again.
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
Let's go to the news now and Rob Pritchard.
The number of people in hospital with COVID-19 now stands at 8, 2 fewer than yesterday. No one is being treated in intensive care. As of this afternoon, there are 288 active cases of the virus locally, an increase of 27 in the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, government says 31 new cases of coronavirus have been detected on the Isle of Man in the last day. Meanwhile, Manx residents with severely weakened immune systems are going to be offered an additional COVID-19 jab. A third dose will be given to those who are or were immunosuppressed when offered their first or second. People standing for election to the House of Keys say they've had campaign posters removed and defaced. Manx Radio has heard from five candidates, each standing in different constituencies, who have had signposts and banners taken down or marked with stickers. Some of the affected candidates say they feel personally targeted, with one describing this year's election as having nasty undertones. In international news, Boris Johnson insists a national insurance rise is needed to help the British government fix problems avoided for decades. Contributions are going up by 1.25% from April to pay for the social care system in England and tackle the NHS backlog. The link between UK state pension increases and wage growth has been suspended for a year. Following mounting pressure, the British government stopping the so-called triple lock because of the impact the pandemic's had on pay. And 4 in 5 people in the UK aged over 16 are now fully vaccinated against coronavirus. A campaign started across social media platforms to try to get the remainder to have their jabs. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Rob, thank you.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you.
They're getting used to these delightful evenings.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
What's the official word? Well, sunny with light winds, low cloud, mist drifting around the hills and coasts for a time. We did have some mist earlier, it's sort of gone inland for a while. It'll be down to 17 Celsius through the night, which is pretty warm. Wednesday, fine and dry, light breeze top, 24 Celsius. Cloud increasing later in the day with sporadic showery rain after dark. Overnight, minimum 16 Celsius on Thursday. Cloudy with occasional rain up to 20 Celsius. A high water today was at 12:35. Low water will be at 6:52. The sunset 7:56. And high water tomorrow will be at 12:46.
Having a new kitchen fitted or just fancy a change? Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke coloured splashbacks to complete the look. Speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing today.
Well, as ever, we get up to date with the COVID numbers. There are 8 people in hospital with COVID-19. Now, that's a decrease of 2 since yesterday. Rob Pritchard returns with the latest figures.
Of the COVID-19 cases in hospital, no one is being treated in intensive care. As of this afternoon, the total amount of active cases of coronavirus locally is 288. It's an increase of 27 in the last 24 hours. Meanwhile, government says 31 new cases of the virus have been detected on Ireland in the last day. Of those new cases, 3 are pending investigation. Meanwhile, when it comes to testing, the positive test result rate stands at 5.88%. The amount of people waiting to be notified of test results is 476, whilst 242 individuals are booked in for a PCR test tomorrow. In terms of vaccines, as of the latest update this afternoon, 347 doses have been administered so far today. 346 of them have been second injections and just 1 has been a first dose. All the jabs given out today have been the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and they've all been carried out at the Chester Street Hub in Douglas.
Rob, thank you. The details given to us by the government. Well, those who have what's termed immunosuppression, their immune systems are not as strong as others, are now being offered a third COVID vaccine. Indeed, the process of identifying who should get it is underway. The JVCI, the Joint Vaccination Committee, is waiting on one important trial, but they've decided the arguments for are stronger than those against. Importantly, it'll give time for this exercise before autumn and winter arrives with its scutch of respiratory complaints. I suggested to the Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, that there were still many ifs and buts about this.
The real problem that we have is that there is no simple test that we can do, either to show what level of immunity people actually have at the moment, or to show whether they're likely to be able to raise an immune response if they get a further dose of vaccine. So that's why there are so many ifs and buts, as you rightly said. The safety data is actually pretty strong. So what we lack in long-term data, we have some compensation for in terms of the sheer numbers covered.
Do we know how many people on the island have any level of immunosuppression?
It would be difficult for me to quantify off the top of my head. We have some data, obviously, from the exercise that was done earlier in the year to identify the people in the clinically vulnerable groups who were fast-tracked for the original vaccination. But not all of those would fall within the groups that we're trying to identify this time. And of course, the complication to identifying people this time is it's not as simple as just identifying people who have certain conditions. We also need to identify the treatment they've been on and also the timing of that treatment. So it really is quite a complex exercise to carry out this time, and that makes it very difficult to give kind of overview estimates of how many people we're talking about.
Presumably, it'll be the people who have not responded well to their primary vaccines who'll be top of the list.
The problem is that we cannot tell individuals definitively whether or not they, as an individual, have responded well or not, because there is no simple test to do that would show that. Measuring antibodies alone is not a sufficient test because it doesn't take any account of the cellular response of immunity, which may actually be more important than just the level of antibodies that you have in your blood at any particular time. Also, although as a generality, people with certain conditions or who have had certain treatments may well be expected not to have had as good a response as others. Actually, when you get down to individuals, it's not as simple as that. And some of the people in those groups may well have mounted actually really quite a good response.
Dr. Henrietta Ewart, I think underlining what I said earlier, that there's an awful lot of question marks about all this. Well, there were questions being asked down in London. The Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, with ministers from Jersey and Guernsey, was speaking to a House of Commons select committee about the strengths and challenges in our relationship between the Isle of Man and UK governments. William King reports.
The Ministry of Justice manages the UK's constitutional relationship with the Crown dependencies, including the Isle of Man. At an evidence session of the Justice Committee this afternoon, Chief Minister Howard Quayle, Ian Gorst, Jersey's Minister for External Relations, and Guernsey's Minister for External Relations and Constitutional Affairs, Jonathan Le Toc, were asked for their thoughts on what working and constitutional relationship is in place.
The Ministry of Justice have, in line with the recommendations of this committee, they've stood back a little and allowed our relationship with other parts of Whitehall to grow. And this means that by far the most frequent and meaningful contact between our governments is at department level.
On Brexit, Mr. Quayle praised the approach of UK departments, but said there's still room for improvement.
On the majority of times, we are well consulted. Obviously, with some of the Brexit negotiations, especially on fish, it really was last minute, and it was take it or leave it sort of thing. But you have to accept that the UK was in major negotiations with the treaty.
When using recent events surrounding beneficial ownership to discuss the autonomy of the Crown dependencies, Howard Quayle said he had been disappointed at times.
We are working and more than prepared to have a public register, but it was disappointing that some people wanted to force us on it when it was something that we were already doing.
Overall, Mr. Quayle said he's noticed improvement in the UK's knowledge of the Crown dependencies and sought continued understanding.
We feel that across Whitehall there is now a better understanding of the Crown dependencies. We want to make sure that we take advantage of the opportunities Brexit has presented. I'm very eager for the Isle of Man to be included in the new UK's free trade agreements, and that they're open for us to participate in, and especially for the first time in services.
You can watch the full evidence session by going to parliamentlive.tv.
That's William King reporting there on this committee down there in London. Well, we're a Crown dependency, of course, but could another Crown dependency be on its way? Moves are underway in Shetland for that island to gain more autonomy from Scotland. 18 of the island's 20 council members recently voted in favour of seeking a breakaway. Andrea Mansom is one of them.
We don't even know if we want to be a full Crown dependency. We haven't actually decided that yet. We haven't got to the stage of actually asking the British government. We've made noises and had a good response from them that we are interested in more autonomy for the islands.
The only difference between your council and other councils in mainland Scotland is that you're surrounded by water. So why should you be any different to any other councils in Scotland?
Our lifeline links are an airport and a ferry terminal. So we cannot just go on a daily basis anywhere at all without a ferry or an aeroplane, which makes us different from the rest of Scotland. Orkney, to our neighbours to the south, they're only a few minutes hop across the Pentland Firth away from the mainland, and they have a lot of ferries every day. We have one ferry a day and a handful of aeroplanes.
I believe some council members are holding the Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey as the road forward for Shetland to become a Crown dependency.
We had a seminar, and there was a representation from Faro from the Isle of Man, and they told us sort of how it was done on their islands, and that was all very interesting, and it certainly gave us a lot of good ideas. But whether we're a British overseas territory or a Crown dependency or whatever the final outcome is, initially we would just like an awful lot more autonomy so that we can make decisions as an island, because the decision makers down in the central belt of Scotland forget that the islands are an awful lot different from what the mainland is.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Let's have a look at how the ships are doing. The Ben McCrea arrived about a quarter of an hour ago, which means it's half an hour ahead of its expected arrival, 6 o'clock. The Mananin is due to arrive in Liverpool about now. The Ben is expected to depart, let's see if I've got this right, here we are, down here, at 7.45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30, while the Mananin is due to come back again to Douglas' expected arrival time at 10 o'clock tonight.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information. Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Let's have a look across the water. Sales at Ted Baker have increased by a half as it bounced back from the impact of the pandemic. The figures cover the 16 weeks up to the middle of August. Bosses at the high street fashion chain say trading in town centres remains subdued compared to the out-of-town stores. The average house price in the UK hit a record high last month. Halifax's index suggests the typical cost is now just shy of £263,000. The Isle of Man, of course, the last figures we had, that was some months ago now, end of last year, wasn't it, was £313,000. And El Salvador is the first country in the world to make the Bitcoin legal tender.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crook Oil.
Let's have a look at the figures in a minute. But first, the UK and European stocks close lower as markets adopt a cautious position ahead of the European Central Bank meeting. When is it? Thursday, isn't it? US stocks dipped in early trading. Analysts were closely watching the end of the pandemic-era jobless benefits and its impact on the labour market. The oil price fell as Saudi Arabia's sharp cuts in crude contract prices for Asia sparked fears over slower demand, while gold prices fell as a firmer dollar and a rise in US Treasury yields dented demand for safe haven bulletin. The markets, the FTSE was down 0.48. at 7152. The FTSE 250 was down 0.62 at 24097. The DAX down 0.55. The Dow Jones down 0.72. That's at 35116. And the NASDAQ was up 0.02 at 15,365.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crickell, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrickell.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
We return to the election.
To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682-631. Or email update at manxradio.com.
And you'll all have seen those notices by the side of the road advertising people standing in the election. Well, people who are standing for the key say they have had campaign posters removed and defaced. The police can only investigate, apparently, if candidates make an official report. William King has more.
Manx Radio has heard reports from five candidates, each standing in different constituencies, who've had signposts and banners taken down or marked with stickers. In some instances, it's understood banners were removed less than 3 hours after they were put up. Some of the affected candidates say they feel personally targeted, with one describing this year's election as having nasty undertones. Others tell us it's just part of the election process. There's also a cost. Nobody standing can spend more than £2,150, plus 54p per elector in their constituency, on their campaign in the year running up to the election. Affected candidates tell us they have to spend more time and money on expensive posters and banners if they choose to replace the ones which get removed. Andrew Reid is a sergeant in the Isle of Man Constabulary.
If people steal or damage or deface election posters or placards and the candidate reports the matters to the police, then we will investigate them as theft or in criminal damage in the case of them being defaced or damaged.
However, not all candidates have reported their damaged posters to the police. Some say they're busy dealing with their campaigns, whilst one told us they'd contact the police if any more went missing. Sergeant Reid says people should report potential crimes.
We are aware of one, and I would encourage that if there are, obviously Manx Radio have made me aware that a number of candidates have stated that their material has been either removed or defaced. And obviously, if those candidates want to contact us and report these officially, then obviously our local officers will investigate.
Those on the campaign trail have just over 2 weeks left to win your support. The Isle of Man general election is being held on the 23rd of September.
William King with that. A different subject altogether now. A recent upturn in the amount of people with breast cancer symptoms being seen within 2 weeks of referral has been described as a massive relief, but a local charity believes there's another area of cancer treatment that needs addressing in the long term. Here's Rob Pritchard.
Back in July, Manx Care said it had struggled to see people with breast cancer symptoms within the 14-day pathway. But since then, plans have been put in place to make sure more patients are being seen in the allotted time. Manx Care is also hoping to expand breast cancer services on island in future. The positive change for appointments following referral has been welcomed by Chairman of Manx Breast Cancer Support Group, Julie Stokes. But she feels there is another issue which will need looking into in future.
Secondary breast cancer and secondary cancers, there's a lot that can be done to improve things for people who are diagnosed with secondary cancers. And maybe we should be looking towards that.
You say there are certain things that could be improved. What are the sort of things that come to mind?
Drugs, basically, secondary cancer drugs. You know, we really need to get there with that. We need to make them more accessible to patients.
Just from your perspective, you'll know exactly what the likes who are supported by your charity go through, what they tell you. And if this is one particular thing, how do you think that could possibly be addressed in your eyes?
I feel that, drugs are moving on so quickly, and there's some fantastic drugs out there, but because of the cost, they're just not accessible to people. They're not accessible to health services. And I think that should be addressed at some point.
Banks Care earlier, they were talking about, in the long run anyway, looking to have more on-island resources in terms of cancer treatment in general, breast cancer as well specifically. How important would it be to have much more resources centred around locally on the island?
Really, really important. And like I say, I think that, you know, we're impressed with how Manx Care have tackled this, and we really are. And you know, the more we have on island, the better.
Rob Pritchard. Let's look at sport now.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
And Rhianne Evans joins us.
Pastor Mike, good evening. Well, the Isle of Man Special Olympics team is gearing up for a 12-hour marathon. This Saturday, that's the 11th of September, athletes will be taking on multiple sports non-stop from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. at Centre 21. Those taking part can choose to get involved with as many different activities as they'd like, which range from badminton and golf to Zumba and Boccia. Each athlete will be sponsored. You can find a full list of the activities and the times they're on at manxradio.com on our sports page. Elsewhere, and Michael Dunlop will miss this weekend's Cookstown 100 in Northern Ireland. Instead, the 19-time Isle of Man TT winner is racing at Silverstone, having accepted a ride for Simon Buckmaster's PTR Triumph team in the British Supersport Championship. He'll be up against fellow TT winner in Lee Johnston, who took his first victory of the year at Snetterton on Sunday. Meanwhile, Derek Shields, another TT regular, has confirmed he too will not be racing at Cookstown this weekend. In international sport, and a new 12-side rugby union tournament has been launched, with organisers claiming it can bring £250 million into the sport. Similar to cricket's IPL and the 100, World 12s will see players selected through an auction to represent 8 franchise teams. The new competition, which will be hosted in England, is provisionally set to start in August next year.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
A couple of things you'll know about, obviously. Ballasalla, those roadworks are due to go until the 17th of September. And outside the nunnery, of course, that's causing quite a few delays and quite a few tailbacks.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Well, the House of Keys general election is, what, just over a fortnight on. Manx Radio, we're hearing now from one of the candidates. Amanda Walker is one of the 7 contesting Douglas East on the 23rd. She's a school teacher, standing for a second time, having not been elected in 2016. She's been speaking to Dave Moore.
I've got 36 years as a teacher. I've spent the last 8 months working with young offenders and children in care, which I deliberately did knowing that I was going to do this, because I felt it would be very, very pertinent and valuable experience, because I think we have an awful lot of issues that need resolving around mental health and young people that have been strongly exacerbated by the pandemic. And I also think we have a major, major issue with the drugs problem on the Isle of Man and a lack of investment in youth services. So they're things that I feel very passionately about. It's a whole range of other things, but I think young people have been my life's work and it's my predominant interest.
Is Douglas East your home territory? Is that where you live?
I've lived in Douglas East since I came to the Isle of Man back in 1999. I've actually lived in the same house, in the same street the whole time, and I very much feel embedded in the community. And I feel that as things are currently organised, it's really important to have a local person representing the area. I don't think that's how it should be in the long term, but as that's what we're currently faced with, then I think it really is essential and important to have somebody who understands the issues in the area, because they actually experience it day by day, every day, and I've done so for over 20 years.
After being rejected 5 years ago, what made you stand up again this time?
I don't view myself as rejected last time. I got a significant number of voters. It was my first attempt. I didn't know the procedures terribly well. It was extremely difficult to get hold of basic information like the electoral roll. It took me 10 working days to get hold of a copy of the electoral roll, which I found very frustrating because I thought in an administration of this size, it would be very, very easy to get the logistics sorted. So the number of people that supported me last time encouraged me to try again. I hope that in the future and in this election, people will actually look at the value of being an independent candidate. At the moment, Douglas East in council is represented by three males. So there are seven candidates, three of whom are male, four of whom are female. So I'm very strongly hoping that we get at least one and preferably two females to represent us to balance things up.
That's Amanda Walker. Well, the other candidates are Claire Barber, Joni Farragher of the Manx Labour Party, Peter Gilmore, Michael Joseph from Liberal Vannin, Jonathan Jochen and Christine Urquhart.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio general election mini-site at manxradio.com.
The 2021 general election takes place in just over a fortnight. And tonight on Manx Radio, we continue our live constituency debates. Between now and Election Day, we're heading to each constituency to question the candidates asking for your vote. Tonight, we'll be live at University College Isle of Man to hear from the candidates standing in Douglas North. Listen live from 7 o'clock. The podcast and video of the programme will be available afterwards. Manx Radio's live constituency debate for the House of Keys general election on air and online at manxradio.com.
Let me just remind you before we close of an additional appointment-only vaccination clinic for 16 and 17-year-olds that's being held shortly. It's on Saturday, 11th of September, 10:30 a.m. to 1:45 in Chester Street. The clinic will be open for individuals in this age group to receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. They want to be registered, need to be registered with 111 and receive an appointment time before attending. Well, that's update for this evening. A podcast is available if you want to recap or hear the programme for the first time. Well, I'm happy you can make the most of this lovely evening, of course, as we head towards autumn. From myself, John Moss, very good evening.